Welcome to Pursuit Church Podcast, where we give those far from God the opportunity to pursue Christ. We are so glad you are here, and wherever you're listening from, we believe God has a word for you through today's message.
Before you're seated, church, I want to read from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Nehemiah chapter 4, starting with verse 1. But it so happened when Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned?" Today I want to speak on the subject, make it a good ending. Make it a good ending. You may be seated, church. Make it a good ending. Our scripture today comes from a time when the city of Jerusalem was in ruins. The walls were destroyed, the gates of the city were burned, and the once glorious temple was demolished. For 70 years, it remained that way until finally the Persian King Cyrus issued a decree allowing the Jews to return home to rebuild the land of their fathers. And so they began the task of rebuilding the temple with a passionate zeal. They cleared the rubble and laid again, church, the foundations of the temple. But as they began their work, they were opposed by the Samaritans. And before long, their zeal and their passion had run out. It began to fade away, and they stopped all effort in rebuilding the temple. For 15 years, it remained that way before the prophets Haggai and Zechariah came on the scene and began to challenge the people. Finish what you've started. Finish building the temple. And so they got back to work and they finished the temple. But they still needed to rebuild the walls around the city so that they would be protected. But by this time, again, the zeal and the passion of the people began to fade away. We don't know exactly what happened. The Bible doesn't tell us. I suppose that they may have just took a break, fully intending on getting back to the temple and building the walls around it to keep it safe. I'm sure they, you know, told themselves that when a better time, a better season comes along, we're going to get to work again. We're going to restore Jerusalem to its former glory. We're going to build again the walls that protect that mighty city. But church days turned into weeks, and weeks turned into months, and months turned into years, and slowly they became comfortable with the desolation and the ruins around them. There was never any doubt that the walls were needed, for their enemies could easily come and attack them without one. They needed a wall to protect them, but there just wasn't a good time. There just wasn't a good opportunity to begin to work. They knew they needed walls. They knew they needed to establish some sort of separation between them and their enemies, but there just wasn't a good time. There just wasn't a good opportunity to begin the demanding work of building again from the rubble. And so they became accustomed to living in the ruins and suffering under the oppression of their enemies. They still had their temple, but they never established any boundaries between them and their enemy. And as a result, church, they were continually subject to an unending rain of terror. To put it simply, without a wall to protect them, they were hopeless people living in hopeless circumstances. There are a lot of people in our world today, even in the church, who are living in that kind of condition. Somewhere along the way, they had a good start. They had good beginnings. They had a good plan. They had good intentions as they began to rebuild from the rubble of their lives. Maybe, church, they had a breakthrough at the altar. A moment in which they began to fall to their knees and they began to lift their arms and surrender. A moment in which the presence of God reached down and began to breathe new life in them. It was a good beginning. It was a good start. But because they never got around to building a wall around their life, they could not maintain it. They had no wall of separation between them and their enemies, and so they found themselves over and over and over again subject to the desires of their flesh and the schemes of the enemy. Maybe you know what I'm talking about today. Seems like no matter how hard you try, no matter how passionate and sincere you become, some things in your old life just keep coming back. They seem to have some kind of authority over you, and you struggle to understand it because how can I know God and all of his power and all of his authority? How can I have this breakthrough moment at the altar of grace and yet continue to be under the enemy's hand? I have a sincere heart. I really want an authentic desire walk with God. But it seems as if you keep struggling in the same areas over and over again. You ask yourself, when will it end? Will it ever end? Listen, the enemy doesn't mind if we build a temple as long as we never build a wall. Because a temple without walls doesn't keep him out. He's okay with a little bit of spirituality and religion as long as there's no walls built up. There are a lot of people who have written off religion as powerless to truly change and transform their lives because the only religion they ever knew was one without walls. A true walk with God is powerless. In fact, it's non-existent without walls. It's about the walls of separation. You know, Paul said, it's either light or it's darkness. Light and darkness cannot share the same room. It has to be one or the other. Either you will live in the light or you will live in darkness. And God didn't save us so that he could leave us in that same desperate condition that he found us in. That's the reason why he spoke to the church and he said, church, come out from among them and be ye separate. He was talking to the church. There has to be some sort of wall that separates us from the enemy. We live in a day when it's popular to have a good, even Pentecostal experience, to come to an altar and pour our heart out to Jesus and have this great beginning, but then go back to living a life without any walls in it. Would we go to sleep at night with the door to our home wide open? No, because we love our children and we cherish our possessions and we would not invite an enemy in to steal from us. And if a stranger approached your home and began to try to break into it, we wouldn't gladly invite them in and allow them to have themselves at home and spend time with our children and spend time with our families. That would be crazy. And yet some of the things we entertain and some of the things that we watch and some of the things that we allow on our television and we allow inside our home are not only inconsistent with the Word of God and inconsistent with our faith, but are incredibly destructive towards our families and our marriages and our children and our eternal soul. The Christian has to have, even in 2023, have some walls walls built up. Christian families have to have some walls built up. Godly marriages, marriages that are going to last, have to have some walls built up. Children are desperate today for mommy and daddy to build some walls of protection. It's not good enough to say we can have church, we can have a temple, we can go to church, but I'm not going to build any walls up. How else will we keep the enemy out? We have to have some non-negotiables where we say, this is not going to be allowed in my home. It's not open for discussion, Cyrus, my child. It's already set in stone because we are following the word of God. I understand the world may be changing, but we are not in this home. Times may be changing, but we are not. Even some churches are changing. Oh, we see some pastors and some preachers, some people we used to look up to change, but this family is not. The Lord's word has been written. It's not going to change. The Bible says the grass will wither, the flowers will fall, seasons will come and go, people will come and go, but the word of our Lord stands forever. The word of our Lord stands forever. Today's the day to look sin in the eye and say, well, this is where I'm drawing the line. This is where things change for me and my family. From this day forward, things are going to be different. It's time to serve notice to your flesh and say, today is the day that I start building walls again in my life. Today is the day that I start putting locks on doors that I used to open that would drag me down into that pit of misery and hopelessness. Church, once you've decided that you're gonna close that door, and you might as well make up your mind, I'm gonna throw away the key. My mind is made up today. For me and my family, for me and my marriage, for me and my home, my mind is made up. I'm gonna throw away the key. The doors are staying closed. The doors are staying shut. It's not allowed here, and I'm throwing away the key. Walls. We need some walls in our family, walls in our churches, walls in our marriages. After 56 years passed, after 56 years full of heartache and sorrow, 56 years of living with no walls built up, everyone being subject to the threats and attacks of the enemy, Nehemiah comes on the scene, and the Bible says, Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3, and they said to me, the walls of Jerusalem are broken down and its gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. Thank God for a man with a burden. Thank God for a prophet, for a preacher with a burden to intercede. Church, to make a long story short, the cries of the prophet Nehemiah would get the attention of the king. And so the king authorizes them to rebuild the walls. Nehemiah makes his journey back home, and he rallies the people to break free from their indifferent spirit and to build once again the walls of their city. Scripture says, as they began to rebuild, Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite, Geshem the Arab heard of it. They began to laugh. They began to say, what is this thing that you're doing? Nehemiah answered them, that man of God, that man with the anointing all over him. He said, the God of heaven himself will help us. Therefore, his servants will arise and build. You have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. Church, what Nehemiah was declaring to his enemy is the same exact thing that we, the church, need to declare to our enemy. Devil, you have no portion. You have no right. You have no memorial in my life. This is not your home. Neither are you invited. Neither are you allowed. And so the walls are going up. Whether you like it or not, my walk with God means too much. For I've been bought by the blood. He paid for my sins. He wiped away my debts. He gave me a new life. And so I'm no longer willing to do the things I used to do. I'm no longer willing to go to the places I used to go. I'm rebuilding the walls in my life. My life's been changed at the altar of grace, and I'm not going back. Listen, it doesn't matter how many years the enemy has exercised his authority over you. You've got more power. You've got more authority in the name of Jesus and the power of his spirit that he will ever hope or imagine to have. Church, it doesn't matter how many years or decades you've been subject to fear and unbelief. It doesn't matter how many years that you've been under his control and you've been addicted or whatever, because it's not how you begin in this thing. It's how you end. It's how you finish. And this is the day that things change. And this is the day that you get your faith back. And this is the day that you inform all hell, you have no business in my life anymore. You have no claim on my life. You have no legal right to me or my home or my children or my family. For we've been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Church, it's time to get back to the old rugged cross. It's time to get back under the blood of Jesus. It's time to close the doors on the enemy, and it's time to build our walls back up. Maybe you've let your guard down for a season, and maybe you have found yourself farther from God than ever before. I have good news, church. It's not how you begin in this thing that matters. It's how you end, and you can still finish strong. Maybe you've played around for a while, and you've allowed the devil in for a season. Maybe you've allowed the walls around you to be brought down and broken down. That doesn't have to be the end of your story. You can start over today. You can change your life today. You can allow God to give you a brand new story. And so that's what Israel began to do, and they began to build their wall back up. And scripture says, but it so happened when Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall that he was furious and very indignant, and he began to mock the Jews. He spoke before him and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Do they think they're going to offer sacrifices again? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned? Do they really think that they can do this? When you start a good work for the Lord, the enemy will always come and oppose it. When you finally make up your mind that I'm going to serve God, you're going to face the biggest battle. And that's what's happening to the Israelites. Sanballat heard that they were building the walls. He became angry. He began to mock the Jews. What are these feeble Jews doing again? You've tried it before. It's not going to work. You're too weak, remember? Do they really think they can rebuild the wall? Have they forgotten that it never worked before? Don't you remember how many times you have failed in the past? It was a direct attack on their newfound faith and passion. Do they really think they can change this time? Do they really think that they can break free from the rubble that defines their past? And then he says, will they make an end in a day? In other words, do these feeble Jews really think they can finish all of this work in one single day? Don't they realize that this is going to take more than the fiery passion of a single moment? Do they really think they can follow through? They're full of energy, passion, zeal, inspiration right now, but it'll wear off. it'll go away. Just give it some time. They cannot finish this in a day. Just let a little time pass. We know how it works. Their passion always fades. What Sanballat is telling the armies of the Samaritans is that he has seen this all before. Just give it a few days. They're going to go back to how it's always been. Their passion cannot last. Their zeal always runs out. This is what the enemy of your soul understands. He has seen it all before. He has seen the diminishing passion and zeal of so many, because the passion of a moment is shallow. The truth is that you cannot rebuild from the rubbles in a single visit to an altar. And the enemy of your soul is probably more patient than you. He will let you have your time in the altar. He will let you have your breakthrough in the altar, because he is playing the long game. He believes that he can wear you down, that the endless continuation of days will finally take a toll on you, and that everything that you began in a moment will never be complete. Ultimately, it's the coming days, months, and years that's going to defeat you. And the enemy of your soul does not believe you will be able to finish. He's right. We won't be able to if we rely on ourselves. Because the strong man that rules over us, it's our flesh. It's our own humanity that will betray us. But thankfully, we don't have to be subject to the law of the flesh, but instead we can invoke the law of the Spirit. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Listen, church, I won't be much longer. What the enemy doesn't fully comprehend is what happens when you give your shortcomings to Jesus day after day. Because every single time that you do, you're met with brand new mercy. And he gives you a brand new beginning and a brand new life and a new future day after day. All things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And here's the best part. All of that new zeal, all of that new passion comes with a great promise. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. He that begins the work in your life is well able to finish it. He is able to finish what he began. The question is not whether you have the human wisdom, human will, or human strength to complete it, because you don't, and I don't. The real question is if we will allow the Spirit of God to be renewed with us day by day, because every new morning, every new sunrise means brand new mercy. It took Nehemiah and his people 52 days to build the wall. 52 days of rising early, working hard. 52 days of toiling with a shovel in one hand and a sword in the other. 52 days of vigilant effort, never losing sight of the ultimate goal. We must not lose sight of the ultimate goal. There were good days and bad days, but they pressed on. There were days when they were under the heat of the sun and they felt like quitting, but they pressed on. There were days when the enemy came and attacked them on all fronts, but they pressed on and they pushed on day after day, realizing that each day, that the end would not be achieved in a single day. Still, they gathered their tools. They went to that wall for the safety of their family, for the love of all that was precious to them. One brick at a time, they built the wall. Church, it's time to build the walls again. It's time to commit ourselves daily to the Lord. It's time to finish what you started. I want to encourage somebody today to keep pressing. Keep pressing on, because it's the ending. It's the finish line that matters. Today may just be another day in a long continuation of days. But if you keep the faith and you keep pressing on, there is a day coming when you will finish the race. And the Lord will say, well done. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom of heaven. You kept going. You kept believing. You kept trusting. You kept worshiping. You kept showing up. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Let's stand, church. Little boy comes home from Sunday school. He asks his dad, Dad, what is eternity? Apparently, he had heard the term in Sunday school. His dad said, well, eternity is like forever. The moment after we pass away from this life, after we die, we will enter into eternity, and it goes on forever. His dad said, yeah, let me show you this way. And it took his son to his workshop behind their home, and he grabbed a rope, and he grabbed a red marker. He colored the first couple inches of the rope in red. He said, son, imagine that this rope right here, it goes on forever. It just keeps going and going. There is no end to the rope. And imagine that this rope represents a timeline of your life. You see this red part? This represents your time here on earth. You've got a few short years here on earth. And then you've got all of eternity somewhere else. That's your existence. This is eternity. It goes on forever and ever and ever. And listen, the Bible teaches that whatever you do during this little amount of time here on earth determines how you're going to spend eternity. What does that mean? What does this mean? It means I can't waste even one day. One single day may make all of the eternal difference. Surely that is why Paul the Apostle, he said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Here's the incredible thing about the mercy and the forgiveness of God. The individual that finds forgiveness later on in his life is just as welcome in the arms of the Lord as the one who was raised in it. Or even the backslider who walked away for a season or even much of their life, they too are welcome back in the arms of God and can find forgiveness at the altar of grace, because it's the ending that matters. It does not matter when you come back, as long as you come back. But there is the great temptation to think that I've always got another tomorrow. Maybe I do, maybe I don't, but I know many in eternity will tell you that tomorrow never came, because tomorrow was never promised. And life is so short, it's only a couple inches on the timeline of eternity. Church, if what we do today may determine how we spend all of eternity, then today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. It's the voice of mercy. It's the voice of grace. It's the voice of forgiveness saying, get back up, run back to the cross. Get back under the blood. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart.
thank you for joining us today. Be sure to subscribe and share this podcast with your friends. For more information about Pursuit, visit pursuitchurchar.com. Thank you for listening and see you next week.